Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hello, everybody. This is Pat Sherlock.
Hey, Bobby Welch here. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bobby, this is a fantastic topic because the reality of it is every lender that I talk to talks about how do you win the recruiting war. So I think it's really appropriate that we talk about it. No question, it's the number one topic at most lenders right after prospecting. And so the recruiting war is definitely a war. And I think in the big picture side of it, it's very I think real that lenders are experiencing a much more difficult time of finding good talent. And there's no question that originators in particular have a lot of options today. So in many aspects, this recruiting war is, I think, just the beginning of what we're going to see going forward for a lot of different reasons, namely the demographic change in our industry and this whole issue of so many people at the point in their career where they're looking to retire. So any experience that you see at the lender level on the recruiting side?
Oh, yeah. Like you mentioned before, it's the topic everybody wants to talk about. And really, it's been the primary growth strategy that has driven most lenders for, you know, especially the last 10 years, because I think the new LO, bringing new people in, nurturing them, training them, developing them, that was a lot more popular, you know, 25 years ago, dating myself.
Right.
And that's how the industry grew. But that really shifted, started in the mid 90s, as you know, and then picked up steam. And if you look at people's books, it's what they're spending their money and time on is this recruiting war. I mean, that's definitely the growth strategy number one.
Yes, no question about it. And I think there's some interesting kind of trivia information about the new generation, the famous Gen Y, from a recruiting standpoint. The reality is that 50% of the workforce, and that would apply to mortgage origination, will be Gen Y. But the other component of it is that 91% of the younger generation, your Gen Y, they stay less than 3 years at a company. So recruiting and recruiting for good talent is really an issue that not only is from a business standpoint, but from a generational standpoint, going to have a lot of impact in our business that I think lenders really are not aware of or think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we already have high turnover in the sales roles, the loan officer role.
Sure.
Even without the Gen Y's propensity to stay a shorter time than generations past, you put that into an exacerbated average LO 10-year situation. And boy, that's going to be interesting to watch that stat over time. And, you know, you also said something interesting that I don't know if we'd have time to go into today or not, or if it's another topic, but the idea of hiring, recruiting for talent versus recruiting for volume. I would say that one of the things that you see in the recruiting world right now is that the eye for talent, we talk about talent, but when it's translated into how the hiring decision is made, a lot of times they're hiring for volume and the things aren't always directly linked, right?
Well, you're exactly right on that. And I think it's the Achilles heel of our business is that the hiring for talent and the component of investing in training individuals to be effective in our business is so often not really done, especially in distributed retail models. I do see more of that model in the call center or consumer direct where they are willing to take the talent and train them in the business, but certainly in distributed, have not really seen that. But I think it's pretty clear that regardless of whatever company's current strategies are, this whole issue of looking for good talent is really going to be a top priority for firms. And the one thing I do think about is that there will be available talent because as the industry resizes, which I think many companies are doing, talent will be available. But how do you get the best talent and how do you get the talent that actually can originate and prospect? I think that's going to be the challenge really at many of these firms is that I think you will have available talent as the resizing goes on. But I do think this whole issue of selecting good talent and how do you attract them So it probably makes sense for us to talk about some strategies that our listeners today can think about from a recruiting standpoint. And I think number one that I'd like to share with, I think companies need to tell their story in a much better way. So I'd like to start off with, how are you telling your story that it attracts and aligns itself with really the type of person that you actually want to join your firm? I think companies just define themselves as basis points or this other issue of technology, but really nothing along the lines of what it's like to work at that company. Is that something that you see?
Yes. And, you know, the way I always look at it is that recruiting, you know, rule number one is just to realize the game. And the game is finding the right person at the right time. So a lot of what you're talking about right now is that whole idea of who is the right person, because you mentioned that a little bit earlier. And then also, how do you present your company in such a way that that person recognizes the match, understands the fact that they're a good fit and that they would do better with it. And really, that's not a one-size-fits-all process. I think that's one of the things that the companies out there struggle with, is they try to sell their story in one way. They, you know, and it's not really about that. It's about really understanding, learning what your company offers well, who that right fit is, and then start to customize the marketing material, because you have to market in recruiting as well. But then more importantly, the recruiting conversation has to be customized so that you find out what that person really is looking for, and only talk about those things. Only present those things, at least in the beginning, when you're baiting the hook, and steer clear from this one-size-fits-all presentation about what makes your company great. That's actually what turns off most of those initial recruiting calls, is you think too much of the wrong thing.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think this is one thing that I saw from interviewing many top producers for different research projects. They really aren't going to be attracted to just hire splits. And I know that many companies will say, and maybe many listeners will say, well, what do you mean? This is what we're about. If you give them more basis points, they're going to join you. I think what lenders really aren't thinking about is that it is very risky for a good originator to leave their current lender and move to another originator where they would be losing 50% of their pipeline by making that move. It doesn't matter, you know, who those lenders are, because your referral sources will not all come with you. So that's a risky move for your good originator. And so it has to be more of a story that is more about them, as you have already mentioned, but also about, and maybe this is really defined as, what is it like to work at your company, which is another way of saying, what is your culture within that company? And I think the second point is, you know, what is the benefit of working for you as a manager? What is it that you bring to the plate as a manager? And I think that question does not get asked a lot.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, really, some of the companies are really waking up. And to be honest, I see some companies doing a pretty good job of handling the basis point conversation better than I've seen in the past, you know, because income is basis points times volume. And I'm starting to see more and more awareness around the recruiting conversation, focusing more on the tools and the things that will help grow your business. There is something out there, though, that I still see neglected a lot inside that, and it fits inside this culture idea that you brought up. And that is, not enough people are talking about, what does it feel like to get to work for your company? You know, that's another way to, in my opinion, to put cultural into action, the whole cultural fit. When, you know, you can share a great stat that, you know, 92% of our loans close on time. That's a great stat. But what's the experience of closing the 92% of those? Are they by the skin of your teeth? Are 50% of your closings exceptions? You know, how do I feel as an originator? Do I feel confident about the process throughout the entire piece? Do I feel calm? Or am I running off of endorphins and, you know, really having to push harder than I need to push and worrying about every detail? And I think that's one of the big recruiting opportunities, is to, you know, you've got to pay them. So you've got to have a good economic opportunity, but that's not the opportunity. That's the tuition to pay, or the fee to pay to get you on the field. To win the game, I think it's more of this conversation of, what's the experience of working with you like?
Right. Well, I mean, I think you've nailed it on the head that, and too often in mortgage banking, we feel that the motivator and only motivator is money. And when you actually look at the psychology on this topic, you know, there's eight main motivators, and certainly one of them is money. But I will tell you from a variety of different studies that we've done over the years, and what I think psychologists will tell you is that for high achievers, typically money is not their biggest motivator. And so if you're trying to attract a really good originator, the basis split isn't really probably what you should be emphasizing, because what we see over and over again is that developing expertise is what high achievers are about. So that's really a coaching, improving a skill set issue. And I don't see many lenders at all talk about that. And I think the other side of it is high achievers, by definition, are individuals that set high bars of achievement that they want to have in their life. So again, what lenders need to do if they want to win this recruiting war for good originators is recognize, as telling your story, you really have to be aligning with what is that individual's motivator, and it isn't necessarily basis points. In fact, rarely is it basis points. It's these others' issues, and the good recruiters are individuals that recognize that versus just doing a product. You know, this product's better than that product, because any good originator will know that, you know, over time, one product is popular and then it fades away. They don't want to put any more in their portfolio. You know, there's all kinds of reasons which can step in there. But making this leap to your lender, they really have to have a trust and an alignment with you that is just more than, well, you have this great product and I want this product. Because again, your better originators look at it a lot differently.
You bet. You know, there's I think one of the, for everyone listening, one of the places that you start in mastering recruiting is to really take an inventory of what your company does well, and then what it does exceptionally well, maybe even unique. And the buckets that I like to use when thinking about this exercise, I think the first time I heard this was actually Dennis Black, a trainer out of California. But you know, he says that originators really evaluate a company in four key buckets. And I agree with them. And this isn't in any particular order. You know, they're looking at the pay, you know, the economic opportunity. They're looking at the process. They're looking at products. And they're looking at partnership. And what's interesting is pay, process, and products. If you're a company worth your salt, there's a lot of similarity in those three camps, a lot. Right. And where the opportunity to really differentiate yourself is in the partnership bucket. And, right. And that's the one that, you know, you need to make sure that pay, process, and products are competitive. But if I were trying to differentiate a team and recruit into that team today, I would be looking really, really heavy inside what kind of partnership do you offer. And, you know, I've always looked at partnership as being three things, which are the tools that you provide, the systems, the success systems, the things that make everything hum. What do those look like? And then the most important one are the people, because people do business with people. And people, you know, who you interact with and how those interactions go, the type of support felt from the people in the organization, that's the piece that wins the most number of games.
So, Bobby, is it fair to say then, when we're giving advice as far as winning the recruiting war, that companies really need to, and individual managers who are responsible for recruiting and growing their branches, need to really focus on, you know, what is it that they can add to that individual that they are not getting at their current company? Because your better originators, they can go anywhere. They're called 10 times a day by everybody and their uncle. So why is it that they're going to want to make a change? What is it that you're bringing in the partnership realm that they're not getting at their current lender? And certainly what I think is missing is the recruiting manager doesn't really delve into what it is that is their story that would make a difference in this other person's life. And I think it's as basic as that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the recruiting is selling, and I think sometimes we don't draw enough parallels because I'll meet a manager and they're like, you know, gosh, I can sell all day long, but I can't recruit. And the amazing thing is they're very similar. It's just there's a little bit more in real time analysis of fit, and the recruiting process should be a lot more choosier about who you decide to close than maybe who you decide to close on helping them with their mortgage. So there's just a lot more stakes with that fit. That's really about it. And if you think about sales, traditional sales, that's what the better salesmen do, is they find all the things that's needed, and then they make sure that they cover those bases and that they prove that they can do it. And then they try to uncover needs and wants that the person didn't even really know they had, and create that gap, you know, create that additional opportunity that they're not getting where they're at now, whether they currently know it or not. And recruiting is no different. That's exactly what that process looks like. And it typically takes time, because that's another, you know, first having a conscious recruiting program mapped out in many of the ways we just talked about, that's deficiency number one that you see. But deficiency number two is that most people really underestimate the total size that your recruiting network needs to be and how much a contact and activity needs to be done inside that network and for how long. And that combined, it just creates an absence of results, or even worse, then you start hiring people just because you need the body count because you haven't managed it correctly, and then you hire the wrong person. But that's a whole other topic again.
Right. Yeah, no, but you said a lot there that I think is critically important. I think recruiting, similar to selling, is a process, and therefore a system needs to be in play. And what ends up happening that I see most of the time is that recruiting is like the last thing the person does, and only that occurs after maybe their boss is after them. Recruiting, like selling and prospecting, is something that needs to be a large part of your week, mainly because your better originators, they certainly need to get to know you. It isn't going to be one call. The passive candidates, which are your better originators, these are individuals that have a current job and really may not be looking. But the reality is that when an event does occur, are you one of the first ones they think about? And again, that is a relationship built upon developing a view of what did they value in their business model? What do they value in their life? I mean, how are you going to make their origination model work better? And only that can be established through many contacts. I think what I see is that the number one problems are recruiting isn't done often enough. It's only done when they panic. And the second part of it is that the manager really doesn't recognize that this is going to take a series of contacts, especially if you want good originators. If you are just looking for those that are unemployed or just been laid off, obviously that's a different sales cycle. But the better originators tend to be the ones that you're going to have to invest time. I don't see enough companies, and I don't see enough managers utilizing Facebook, all these other tools that help you tell your personal story. And I think they all have to be tools that the manager is using to establish what they value in life, because that's really what you're going to have a conversation about with the originator, because again, they have many options. So there's a lot to it. Frequency is certainly a key component of it, but that recognizing the length of your contacts and the frequency, I think, is really crucial if you want to be successful.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
This topic, we can go on for hours about this, but we're down to the last couple minutes. And if we want to kind of, you know, give some takeaways for our listeners today about winning this recruiting war, what would be some of the things that you would want to share?
Yeah, you know, at first, you realize that the game that you're playing, as we mentioned before, is a game of finding the right person at the right time. And you can find the right person at the wrong time, and you just got to stick with them for a period of time. For heaven's sake, don't hire the wrong person at the right time. Like, you know, really dial in right person, right time. The second big takeaway is be able to recognize who the right person is, because right person, we're really talking about a fit, by taking the time to do an inventory about your team and your company. And I think the four zones that we talked about are ideal for you brainstorming on this: the pay, the process, the products, making sure that you're competitive in each of those, but then really digging deep inside a partnership. And then the third takeaway is once you've done all that and you're in action, just make sure you're going wide enough. Make sure you're talking to enough people regularly over a long period of time so that the results that you get become solid and consistent, because there's no fast track to recruiting. And typically when somebody tries to recruit fast, that's when they make the mistakes.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And I guess the comment that I would like to make, look at it as a dating game. And from a dating perspective, you are trying to establish a relationship with someone. And to do that is really the basic requirement of spending that effort to really understand what does motivate them. What are they really looking for? The basis points and the splits, all of that are conversations that really is not what the individual is wanting to hear. They want to hear, how are you going to make my business model better? And what are you going to do to help me get to whatever is my established achievement goal that I have personally set for myself? So I do think the key to recruiting success is really centered on being able to recognize that you are having to reach out, as you say, on a wide basis, but also this establishing a relationship if you are looking to bring on the good people, which is what all managers really should be doing. So any other thoughts that you'd like to share, Bobby? Or
I think it's a good time to wrap it up, because if we go on another tangent, we've easily got another 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's for sure. Very sure. Well, anyway, I want to thank everybody today. This is a great topic, and certainly look forward to you listening to our next podcast.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your national MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.